Let me pray for us. Lord, as we come to study your word together, help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear what you are saying to us, your church, today for this time in this place. And Lord, encourage us by what we hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in church life, in this new year, what we are going to be doing is we're going to be spending a few weeks thinking about what it means for us here to be church together. I mean, fairly obviously from the readings, we've got the reading from 1 Corinthians about being one body with many parts, and we've got the reading from John 17, Jesus' prayer for all the disciples, people who follow him, his prayer for our unity. So, the first thing I want us to do is think about that thing. We quite often have people who want to sort of take a step back from church. You know, the church as an institution, well, let's face it, it doesn't get very good press, does it? You know, and there's lots of reasons why we might want to sort of take a step back from the church and sort of say, no, I believe, but the church, yeah, I'm not so sure. As if the church could be something that's separate from us. The trouble is it doesn't really work like that. Because if you think about what the church is the people. We have a fantastic building, but the church is not the building. The church is the people. The church is you and I. We can't really distance ourselves from the church. If you believe in Jesus, you are the church. We are the church. We can't distance ourselves from it. And so we have this passage about, as the church, we are one body with many parts. Which actually is an amazing leveller, isn't it? Everybody, both you and me, make up what it is to be the church. It's an absolute leveller. Everyone is important. We're all very different. It would be a real shame if you were exactly like me and I was exactly like you. We would have no diversity, no variation amongst us at all. It wouldn't be much of a church then. We are all very different. We have different skills. We bring different ideas, and we bring different ideas about the way things are as we come into church. We're all very different, but together we make up this glorious body of people that is the church in this place at this time. And so from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, verse 26 that Andy read out for us, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. The idea is that we either thrive or we fail together. Together is the important word here. Or in verse 27, each one of you is a part of it. And then in verse 28, the apostle goes on to describe some of the different roles. There are apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and healing and helping and guidance and all kinds of different gifts. Now, we're not going to go into the meaning of all those different gifts today. That's a sermon series for another time. But today, we are noting the amazing diversity that comes with being the church. You are gifted in ways that I am not. Right? I'm gifted in ways that you're not. And that works for everyone. In this church. So together we bring that a rich diversity of giftings into the church. Of course, the list that the apostle gives, it's not exhaustive, because he then goes on at the very final verse that Andy read to us, verse 31, the apostle concludes, after listing out all these gifts, he says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And if you know 1 Corinthians 13, it's probably one of the most famous chapters in the Bible because it's read at almost every wedding ceremony that happens in church. It's the chapter where he waxes lyrical about what love is. You know, you can have all these gifts. You can be an apostle or prophet. You can do miracles. But if you don't have love, you're just a clanging cymbal. That's his idea. That's the whole idea of this passage, that it goes on into the next passage, this amazing description of love. So we are one body with rich diversity because we have so many parts that make up us together, this one body. But the glue that needs to hold it together is a love like Jesus's love. Okay, so that's what we need to have. But this all has some very profound implications. Of course it does. It's the Bible. As soon as you dig into it, and as soon as you stop to think about it, suddenly there's loads that we need to be really concentrating on. So first of all, the first implication is very, very obviously that as believers in Jesus, in this place and at this time, we are tied together by God. You may be telling yourself, no, many parts to this one body. I'm just a little toe. I've got nothing to contribute, really. Have you ever stubbed your little toe? Right? We all know what that is like. You matter. Right? You matter. All of us matter because together we make up the body of Christ. Without you, we don't work properly. And without the people who will join in the future, we don't work properly. Actually, every single one of us is important to the correct functioning of God's church. So the first point, as believers in this place, we are tied together by God. The second, the implications of this is that, you know, there's a tendency, especially in Church of England churches, to put the vicar on a pedestal and say, well, it's his problem. You know, it's his church. He can sort it out. Right? I'm very honoured and flattered when people do that. But please don't. You know, there's really not much point coming to me or Andy and saying, you know, why haven't you done whatever it happens to be? Fill in the gaps. You know, everyone wants church to be a little bit different than it is. Why haven't you done that? It's no point. Because we are church together. Come to me by all means and say, Chris, you know, Andy, you know, whoever you're speaking to, why haven't we done whatever it happens to be with the full expectation that the response is going to be, great idea, can you get a few people together to make it happen? Right? Because that's much the best way to make it all work. Believe me, me and Andy do work quite hard on behalf of the church. But again, the interesting thing about the way that the Church of England is set up is that vicars and curates are not paid a wage, right? We don't have a job description in the way that lots of other jobs work. We are given a stipend, which is basically an amount of money that you can live off, right? And told, get on with it. Because the idea is that actually what's needed of the vicar of the church is different in every place and at every time. And so there's no point trying to write out a job description, you must do this, 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 and this, because actually what's needed here is very different to what's needed at St. George's up the road, or St. Saviour's, or wherever else it happens to be. It's all about God's calling. So as we together, the body of Christ, discern where God is leading us, we together hear his calling, and then we together enact that calling. We do the things that need to be done. So we are tied together by God. It's all of our responsibility to make this church thrive. Okay? And then thirdly, we are also tied together to other believers in Jesus with whom we might disagree on some or other issues, sometimes very fundamental issues as well, but we are tied together with them nonetheless. Even with those who we don't think maybe take the Bible very seriously. We do our best here in St. Mary's to take the Bible very seriously as God's revelation, his word to us. And we might look at some other churches and go, not sure. But actually, we are still tied together with them as people who believe in Jesus. In a sense, it is a call for humility. We might think we're getting it all right. Actually, I don't think we're getting it all right. How can we possibly get it all right? We'd be God if we were getting it all right. But we may think that we are doing our best to apply biblical values, Christian faith in the 21st century. And therefore we speak in a certain way, we act in a certain way. But actually we need to humbly accept that we are not God, right? The things that we do here seem to fit to us and therefore we do it and it seems to work. But actually other people operate in different ways. We don't have a monopoly on what it means to follow God and be church. It's hard. But what it means is that we cannot write any other Christians off anywhere, any place. You know, let's look positively at what they're doing, seeking to follow Jesus as best as they know how. So we can't write anyone off. We are bound together. It's all our responsibility to make church operate well here in this place. And we are tied to the wider church, even those with whom we're like, oh, really? But yes, we are tied to them. And that's why we've got Jesus' prayer as our other reading, from the gospel reading that Sheila read to us. We've got Jesus' prayer. He is praying for the disciples, and he is praying for those who will believe after them. He's praying for all of us. And in verse 21, he's praying that we may be one. One in Jesus. And now, why does he want that? He wants that so that the world may believe. He wants us to act with unity so that the world may believe. And in verse 22, there's an acknowledgement in the prayer that that unity is difficult and it requires God's glory to be working amongst us in order to achieve that kind of unity. It's hard, but it's with purpose, because again, in verse 23, then the world will know, is what he prays. Then the world will know. What will the world know? The world will know that God sent Jesus and loves us in the same way that God loves Jesus. So God loves us the same way that God loves Jesus. That's what he wants the world to know. And that's what our unity will show the world. But it's more than just knowing. In verse 24, it's about being with Jesus. It's about seeing his glory. And in verse 26, it says, in order that the love you have for me, says Jesus, in order that the love you, God, have for me, Jesus, is how he prays, may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. There's a sense in which Jesus' prayer is saying unity is all about the mission of the church, so that everyone can follow this great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Unity leads to mission. Mission leads to people knowing Jesus. People knowing Jesus leads to people being with him, seeing his glory and experiencing his love. And what more can we want for our world, our society, than that? People knowing Jesus, experiencing his love, living their lives knowing that they are loved with the same kind of love that God has for Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing if the whole of Stockport knew deep in their hearts that they were valued like that by God? But Jesus' prayer is saying that our unity can lead to that kind of thing. So over the next few weeks, we are going to be thinking about what it means for us here in St Mary's together in the centre of Stockport to be church together and what that might look like. And so what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be basically setting out some expectations for what our unity might be like, what being one body together, the people of God in this place, might actually look like. And then we will explore them much more in the coming weeks. Many of these things are already here, already happening, but just beginning some of them, with so much scope for growth and development, and displaying God's glory so much more amongst us. So if you like, my first expectation for what it means for us to be church, I mean, it's hardly any point me telling you this, because you are the ones who are sat here in St Mary's on this beautifully warm winter morning. But the first point is about showing up, right? We can't be the people of God together if we don't show up. So the first point is that the expectation is about showing up. So my appeal is actually for us to say, no, weekly we are going to show up in church on a Sunday morning because of who we are. We are people who follow Jesus. Therefore, we will join with the other people who follow Jesus, because that's how his glory is made known in this place. So I am appealing for people to say, no, Sunday morning, it's booked. It's not going to anything else. It's booked because we're going to be the people of God together. Now, I realise in practice that everyone has other things they have to do from time to time. So don't take it as a, you must do this. Take it as a, let's try to prioritise that, because it's really important. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, the purpose for doing it, the writer says, do not give up meeting together. Why? So that actually we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Right? All of us need a helping hand, don't we? Some of us, you know, some of us we're having like down days and we're like, oh, this whole Christian faith thing is hard. But actually, if we are in the discipline of turning up to church on a Sunday, somebody here will encourage us. Somebody here will say, no, you keep on going because of this, because, we, you know, actually we need to come to church, not just expecting to receive, but expecting to give out as well. You know, we're spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. So the first point is about showing up. The second expectation is about growing in faith together. Right? But we don't just show up to warm up a chair because they're very cold on a Sunday morning. Right? We turn up so that we can grow in our faith together. Right? That's why we are showing up. But it's more than just what we do together. The commitment to growing in our faith, to discipleship, goes beyond what we do on a Sunday morning, way beyond that. Right? It's part of what we do midweek. It's also part of what you do on your own as well. Your relationship with Jesus. So we do the corporate stuff. You know, maybe Sunday mornings, maybe turning up to joining the Alpha course, you know, Introduction to Christian Faith, or beyond that, going on into the Bible studies that we run together. But it's also the personal stuff that you do. Lots of people talk about having a quiet time in the morning. And what we might mean by that is actually we set aside some time every day. It doesn't have to be the morning, but obviously for some people that works well. Where we are going to say, no, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to start my day off like that. It may be only just a short section, a paragraph or two, and then something to think about and pray about. And so we start our day like that. And so if we are maybe following a course for that, we are growing in our faith as we're doing that. So showing up, growing in our faith together, both individually and together as a church, committed to doing that. Thirdly, service and serving our community. It's the expectation of being church together. What do Christians stand for? Well, actually, let me show you the better way. The better way is love. That's what the apostle says. And that means service, doesn't it? Right? We can't look at some of the stuff that's going on in Stockport and say, not my problem. Actually, we need to look at what's going on around us and say, how can we help? We can't look and hear some of the things that people in church are facing and go, well, not my problem. Actually, we need to say, well, how can I help you? And then be practically involved in one another's lives. And then as part of that, you know, we might have ideas about how our service as a church can be better than it is. And like I said earlier, there's no point saying, come on, Chris, come on, Andy, why don't you do this? It's come on, why don't we together do whatever it happens to be? Let's make it better. Let's be involved. And that can be involved at every level. Right? That can be involved in leading services and preaching. It can be involved in doing the practical things like the coffee afterwards. It can be involved in some of the midweek stuff that we do with the cafe and Bible studies and things like that. It can be involved anywhere, anyhow. But it only works if all of us together are making it happen. So showing up, growing in our faith together, service in the church and in our community. How else are we going to be the church together? Well, part of it is about giving. You know, we will be talking about giving as well. Because we realise that the ministry of the church doesn't just happen. It happens because we choose to make it happen. I do want to add the caveat that here in St Mary's, we are trying to be as careful as we can about separating the ministry of the church from the maintenance of the heritage. Right? I get it that lots of people do not want to be giving to a church that just all the money goes, sinks into a building that will take as much as it's given. Right? So we are trying very hard to separate the two with the way we do grant funding. So that when you give to St Mary's, it's going into the ministry of the church and the ways in which we are being church together. But it costs money. If you want to have ordained ministry, it costs money. Sorry, it just does. If you want to have a warmer church, it costs money. Can't get away from it. So showing up, growing in our faith together, service in our church and our community, giving towards the ministry, But actually also, the final point I wanted to talk about is building our community together. Right? There are some amazing things that are already happening. I don't know if Elmo's cooking a lunch for us today. He is. Why don't you stay? And why don't you make it a point, not just staying for the lunch, but also staying so you can talk to and get to know somebody you've never met in church before. Right? We come not because we're just taking. We come so that we can give into the community and build the community together. If nothing else, stay for coffee after the service. But make a point of talking to somebody who you maybe don't know as we build that community together. There's loads of other opportunities to do that. We have everything that goes on Tuesdays here. There's loads of ways that we can build our community. There is so much potential, especially as the church grows the way it is at the moment. The question is, what do you want your church to be like? How will you make that happen? Right? Andy and I don't have all the ideas. We have some ideas, and lots of other people have ideas that have been worked out so far. But there's potential. Where are we going with this? How can we build our community together? It's great. Liz and I love it when we host people at our house and we have those sort of big events and things like that. But that's just scratching the surface. Everything that we're doing seems to be, you know, we're heading in a direction, but how much more can we build our community together so we know each other and trust each other and can grow in our faith together because we know and trust each other? So different ideas there about how we be church together, how we demonstrate the unity that Jesus is talking about, and therefore how that unity, people on the outside of this church, they're going to look at it and go, I want to be part of that. Because these people love each other and they operate like that. Wouldn't that be amazing if that's the reputation that St. Mary's has in Stockport? Maybe it's already growing in that direction. Isn't that amazing? But actually, people seeking to follow Jesus because they see the effect it has on the lives of the people who do. Isn't that amazing? That's a great vision for us to be having. We will be thinking more about these ideas of what it means to be church together over the next few weeks. But for now, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you that we see your goal is to have people knowing you, knowing that they are loved with the same kind of love that God has for you, you have for us. And we pray, Lord, that as you grow our church, that you'll be growing our community around the kind of love that Jesus talks about. And that people would look at that and go, I want in. I want a part of that. Because this is what faith does to people. Lord, help us. Because we know that kind of unity is hard, but vitally important. Help us by your Spirit. Be working through each and every one of us as we grow in what it means to follow you together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.